You are listening to Dr. Rob White with the AULC Ministries. You can find us on Roku, Amazon Fire TV, TalkShoe and Verbal. Be sure to visit www.aulc.us for more free resources.
Today's scripture lesson comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. Starting at verse 1.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the vineyard keeper. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit he removes, and he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me.
I am the vine, you are the branches.
The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch and he withers. They gather them, throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Hello and welcome to the AULC Ministries message on this Mother's Day. I'm Dr. Rob White here bringing you this message. I'm minister here at AULC Ministries. And I just want to say happy Mother's Day to all the women out there. Mothers, would-be mothers, mothers-to-be. I'll explain all that later. Anyway, let's get on with our message. You know, there's just nobody. There's nobody like Mom. When we were children, when we were teenagers, when we were young adults, now as adults, all of us have a memory of something our mom has said or did that we remember it just as though it happened yesterday. Isaiah 66:13 gives us a thought in a way how mothers are a little bit like God. Isaiah 66:13 says, "As a mother comforts her son, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted in Jerusalem." Now, there's many ways that the Bible shows us that God is like a mother to us, and our mothers are a little bit like God. For example, Jesus says, "I am the true vine," and God is like a mother who lovingly and carefully tends the vineyard garden. She wants the vineyard to grow and be prosperous, so she removes every branch from the vine that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, she prunes carefully, constructively, and surgically to make it bear more fruit. You, all of you together, are my much-loved faithful ones. You continue to be pruned and washed clean by the word that I speak to you. Live forever in me, as I have promised to live forever in you. You know that a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it is intimately connected to the vine. So neither can you live wholly and completely unless you live forever in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who live forever in me and I in them will always, always bear fruit in abundance of good fruit, because apart from me, you can't do a darn thing and all existence becomes nothing but weeds. Why would you choose not to live forever in me? Because like rubbish that is thrown away in a fire and burned. If you live forever in me and my words live forever in you, ask for whatever is faithful and it will be done for the church. God is overjoyed by this, that you receive pruning and love, that you grow and bear good fruit, and that you are my friends forever and ever. Now I must say, as I look out at the chapels and the sanctuaries today, you're going to see a lot of beautiful ladies wearing beautiful flowers. So again, happy Mother's Day to all of you. Now, this is a day of special thanksgiving to God and for the love and care of mothers. Mother's Day may not be a high holy day, and it might not even appear on the liturgical calendar, but I'm here to say that maybe it should. Now, because Mother's Day not only affords us the opportunity to give thanks for our mothers, but it's also a time to reflect on the mothering attributes of our God. It's when we think about the mothering attributes of God that we realize Mother's Day is both a happy and a sad time. There's great joy that comes with being a mother, having a family, raising children. Those are all things that God finds joy in as well. But what happens when a child becomes estranged to the mother, or worse yet, when a child dies? God shares an intimate knowledge of the sadness that can come with motherhood too. And then there are those among us for whom Mother's Day is a difficult time because they wanted to be a mother, and for whatever reason, they're not able to. Does God know what this is like also? Well, yes, I believe God does, and I believe He's well acquainted with disappointment. Now, Mother's Day can really help us to see another side of God that we may not accentuate enough. The feeling, the emoting side of God that laughs for joy, cries for sorrow. Now, today is Mother's Day, and who could offer a better lesson in the art of waiting other than mothers to be? You know, they wait, and they wait, and they wait, and then they deliver. Now, it seems right to celebrate Mother's Day today, for there's nothing quite like a mother's nurturing comfort. Most of all of our focus today is one on love, for love is the key ingredient to being a good mother, just as it's a key ingredient to living a Christian life. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Children tend to perceive this differently, and they tend to use it as a tool to get what they want. They might say, "Well, if you love me, will you let me do this or that? Or if you love me, you'll buy me such and such." Jesus had a sense of expectation rather than one of manipulation. He says, "If you love me, then this is the way that love is shown, so that you will all know you love me." And that's how the woman who is credited for founding Mother's Day spent her time, looking at the origin of this special day. Anna Jarvis was inspired by her mother, who in the 1850s organized Mother's Workday Clubs in the area of Grafton, West Virginia. They provided medicines for the poor, inspected milk for the children, provided nursing sick, care for the sick, and they ran shelters for those with tuberculosis. At the outbreak of the Civil War, she called together her clubs and asked them to make a pledge of friendship and goodwill. Throughout the war, the women nursed soldiers from both sides and saved many lives. She became a genuine peacemaker, bringing families together who had been torn apart. The first Mother's Day was organized in 1907. Now, Anna Jarvis campaigned for many years to make it an American national event. She finally succeeded in 1915 when President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. Julia Ward Howe, the author of the Battle Hymn of the Republic and a fierce abolitionist, was another big promoter of the idea of Mother's Day. As she was obtaining voting rights for women and advocating world peace, so the central concerns of those who established Mother's Day were civil liberties, international peace, overcoming poverty, and ministering for the sick and the poor. Since its beginning, this day has been one not only for remembering our own mothers, but a day to express the deepest form of love possible. But here, in this context of worship, I think Mother's Day can really help us to see another side of God that we may not accentuate enough. Like I said before, the feeling, the emoting side of God that laughs for joy, cries for sorrow. God, our mother, is an image of God that lends itself to thoughts of tenderness and self-sacrifice. So with all that in mind, what, pray tell, is our primary text for this Mother's Day? Well, the Gospel of John's metaphor of God and the vine growing pruning branches on the vine. Now, I find that interesting. I don't know about you, but I don't find a knife-wielding mother particularly comforting. Maybe it's just me. When I see that or get that picture, I start hearing the theme music from Psycho. The whole concept of pruning is just not necessarily one that we would connect with motherhood, at least not at first. But let's think about this. Jesus says, I am the vine, the true vine. And God is like a mother who lovingly and carefully tends the vineyard garden. She wants the vineyard to grow and be prosperous, so she removes every branch from the vine that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, she prunes carefully, constructively, and surgically to make it bear more fruit. Now, the pruning metaphor here works best if we think of God as a gardener who grieves while watching a violent storm rip through her beloved garden. Afterwards, she lovingly and tenderly prunes the injured plants in order to guarantee survival and to restore beauty and harmony. But we can't confuse pruning with the crises that overtake us. No, pruning has more to do with the clearing away of the debris than those crises that we leave behind. And there's one particular brand of crisis that continually calls for pruning. It's the self-imposed crisis. It's when we mess up. It's when we sin that we need pruning the most. Now, I don't know about how your mother handled discipline. My mother, she was a ninja at it. She was pretty good. Let's just say, over time I gave her plenty of practice. My mother was very good at staying calm. With a very non-anxious voice, she'd cut me down to size. But that wasn't the good part. The good part was the way that she practiced the art of accountability. Her criticism was always to the point. The sin was clearly pointed out, but there was also affirmation of some good that I could build upon. In other words, my mother would prune me. She would acknowledge my inherent worth, but help me clear away the debris in my life and the things that was unhealthy and only holding me back. Now, needless to say, that was not always a painless procedure, if you know what I mean. Nothing that involves a pruning knife ever is. But there's a big difference the way the knife is handled. There's also a big difference in the kind of knife. My mother's acts of prunings were more of a surgical scalpel than a slashing machete. I'm grateful for that. Now, we all know what it's like to have someone come at us with a slashing machete. Criticism is not something that we deal with well. So when criticism is not constructive, when it's leveled with malice, when it's used to tear down instead of building up, we're left bruised and bloodied. Intellectually, we may know that this unconstructive criticism is without merit and should be dismissed, but that doesn't stop it from hurting right in the gut. Now, the other side of the coin is true as well. When we are called upon to be critical, do we seek to prune in love, or do we go to the psycho shower scene? If God's tender upbuilding pruning is the model, when we should expect from one another what we should expect to another. I didn't say that right, did I? Let me try that again. If God's tender upbuilding pruning is the model, then that is what we should expect from one another and what we should extend to one another. There, I said it right that time. But it's more than just an individual thing. When Jesus says you are the branches, that you is plural. Together, we are a branch. The good news here at the AULC Ministries is that I think it's working. The good news is that God desires for this church to continue to grow and be productive, both spiritually and numerically. God deserves that our good fruit, our acts of ministry and mission, grow and become more effective, more productive, more prolific. And the good news is that we don't do this alone. The presence of God is among us, empowering us. Jesus says, live forever in me, and I have promised to live forever in you. And that's how we work together with Christ to make good things happen. Our unity with Christ fosters an environment of trust in which we are open to God's pruning. We're open to the constructive criticism that Christ works among us to grow this church and make us more faithfully productive. Now, biblically speaking, perhaps the story of Sarah, the holy woman of old, is the one of significance for us today, because Sarah is among God's who's of faith. She was Abram's wife, who became Abraham, and God had promised that she would become the mother of nations. Now, as you know from the story, Sarah endured many years of barrenness. She became impatient. She went to extreme measures to obtain a child by arranging for a surrogate mother with her husband. Her admiration for Hagar turned into an explosive envy, a dilemma that affected her faith and drove her back to God, fostering a strong relationship and providing proof that God is trustworthy. And like Sarah, we all have areas in our lives that we do not meet our expectations or cause us to envy what others have. She reminds us that although others will fail us, God will not. We are challenged to admire God. Parenting in today's society is a rigorous challenge because frequently both parents must work in order to support the families. We also acknowledge single parents and blended families and realize the complexities. The home is such an influence on a child's formative years, determining how he or she will live life in the future. If home is a place of unconditional love and grace, then those privileged children will generally perpetuate that. In Proverbs 31, we note the description of a wife of noble character. As a wife and as a mother, her responsibilities are endless, and she's deserving of admiration and reward. Now, mothers have provided some significant lessons for us. In the best sense, they create an environment of love. God also shows his continued love through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, and we're called to live that love and to mirror it for others to see, because love builds self-esteem and self-worth. Love helps keep lives centered and focused, and love helps us live in selfless ways. Mothers also create an environment of grace. They establish a home life. They're not judgmental, a home where children are given the opportunity to test ideas and attitudes without recrimination or guilt. It's a home life that allows for mistakes and one that offers forgiveness when mistakes are made. Mothers also create an environment of faith. They guide their children in attending Sunday school and worship. Ideally, they do it together. An environment of faith implies being actively involved. And finally, mothers create an environment of security. Our children live in a fragile society today where most things are constantly changing. The only thing that's predictable is that things change. The changes our children experience today are different from the changes we experienced growing up. One of the best gifts we can offer children is the same gift God gives us, and that's the security of love and the stability of a secure family connection. We offer them securing by letting them know that no matter what happens, no matter how much they mess up, we still love them. Jesus says we must show love just as he shows his love for us. And that point is that we love. Now, sometimes our love and concern is misunderstood by children. Let me share a little cute story here real quick. A mother was sending her son off to kindergarten. He was walking, but did not want her to walk with him. She wanted to support his independence, but also assure his safety. So she had an idea. She asked a neighbor to follow her son to school in the mornings, staying at a distance so that he would not likely notice her. The neighbor agreed. The next morning, she took her toddler son and set out following behind Timmy as he walked to school with another neighbor girl he knew. She did this for a full week. Now, as you would suspect, Timmy's friend noticed that the same lady was following them as she had done all week. So she says to Timmy, "Have you noticed that lady following us to school every day? Do you know her?" Timmy replied, "Yeah, I know who she is. That's Shirley Goodnest and her daughter Marcy. Her friend asked, "Who the heck is she and why is she following us?" Well, Timmy explained that every night my mother makes me say the 23rd Psalm with my prayers because she worries about me so much. In the Psalm it says, "Shirley Goodnest and Marcy shall follow me all the days of my life." So I guess I just have to get used to it. Before we close today, here's some things to think about. When mothers suffer pain, heartache, and sorrow, they tend to hide their feelings. What is a home without a mother? She's the queen of the home, and she's the one who comforts, loves, and serves everybody. When grown children have marriage problems, they always call mother for advice. God is looked upon by us as a tower of safety. We can all hide in him till troubles pass, and then we can continue on our way. It's bad to be without mom, but it's worse to be without God. What mother has to say is listened to, as she is the first teacher of her children. When discouraged, it's mother who inspires and encourages. When disobedient, it's mother who corrects. When doubtful, it's mother who says, "You can do it." Children's lives are kept straight by mother's wisdom and authority. God also has words for us. When discouraged and disobedient, when afraid and doubting, he is with us. Children are always children in mother's eyes, no matter how old they are. So it is with God. Mothers know when to be silent. In times of trouble, children run to the mother. She silently consoles. No questions. No, "I told you so's." Mothers hug. She kisses the hurt. She dries the tears. She bandages the scratch or cut. Mother's touch drives the hurt away, yet she never has to say a word, just her touch. Thus, it is with God. When we go to God with our troubles, heartaches, disappointment, ruined lives, and there is no reproach, no questions, and no "I told you so's." God comforts us in silence as we cry and talk to him, yet he remains silent and loving. We kneel in his presence, not actually seeing him, yet we always go away comforted, calm, relieved, and reassured that he has heard us and will do something for us. Mothers have sympathy. Children take their heartaches to mothers, their date problems, their school problems, etc. Mothers always understand. They're always concerned. They're always interested. It's the same with God. We can take our heartaches and problems to him, and he will always understand. Yet, he'll be concerned and interested in everything about us. God's word, read in the scriptures and proclaimed in sermon and song, also prune us, as do the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. All these things come together in love to build us up, not tear us down. God's pruning is an act of love that is meant to extol life, not extinguish it, commend life, not condemn it, and protect life, not punish it. So may we all come to receive God's pruning, not with fear and resistance, but with a newfound sense of gratitude and appreciation. And may we come to experience God's pruning, us as a congregation, and may our faithful, growing, and blossoming give to God a mother's joy. We bless our mothers this day. No matter what they've done or left undone, we do this because we believe in God's love. For some of us, our mothers are but a cherished memory now. Others are blessed with the opportunity to share good times, concerns, and conversations. We honor our mothers, and we praise you, O God, for our gift of motherly love. And we're grateful for the loving hands that have worked so hard in raising us, cared enough to guide us and encourage us, and to bless us in ways we could not have fully known as children. Mothers of the world, you may be someone who's given birth, or you may have assumed the role of a mother, but you are God's love in expression. No matter your age, where you are, or who the children who are in need of you, you are there to reassure, to listen, and to love. Of all the roles you fill in life, motherhood is a constant and rewarding one. God bless each and every one of you. You are loved and honored for what you have done and continue to do in life as you nurture, love, and care for all the children of God. If God was looked up to as much as the mothers are, if God was listened to as much as the mothers, if God was confided in as much as mothers, if God was trusted as much as mothers, how much more God could be doing for mankind? Yet, he's passed by. Where do mothers get their love and their care and their concern, etc., for the family? from in the first place? Where do they get it? Well, they get it from God. That's why mothers are so much like God. If your mother is with you today, give her a big hug right now. If your mother is still alive, but not here, you tell her that you love her before this day's over. May the Lord bless and keep all mothers. May He make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May He lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. May you be comforted and mothered. Though you have spent your life taking care of others, may you also take care of yourself. May you be pampered by small indulgences, and may you know the quiet and soothing grace of simplicity. That's our Lord's message for this Lord's Day, and I hope that you got a blessing out of it. Remember, you can find us on Roku, Amazon Fire TV, TalkShoe, and Verbal, as well as our website at www.aulc.us. For Dr. Rob White and the AULC Ministries, we say go out this week, be a blessing, and be blessed, because you, the more you are a blessing, the more you will be blessed. Thank you for watching and listening, and we hope to see you all next week. And have a happy Mother's Day.